We're reading from Psalms 20, 1 through 8. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all of your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God, that they have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. The second reading is from 2 Thessalonians 1 through 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one.
Father, now hear us as we affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Father, now prepare our hearts for the understanding of what you have given to us. For we ask these things in your name. Amen. Be seated.
In this month's issue of Christianity Today, there was an article with this headline: The Return to Reasons. The author was Chris Norris, and he said this: Relational evangelism may have been the key to successful youth ministries in the 1990s, but today, apologetics is gaining new traction. Kids struggle to explain their beliefs today more than they did two decades ago. Teens are asking more questions about why people believe the things they do. And he went on to say in the article that one of the reasons is the Harry Potter series. He said, it isn't enough to just explain to them what you believe. They want to know why. And not only do they want to know what and why, but they want to know the other side of the argument. Challenging. It reminds me of what the Lord said to us in 1 Peter 3:15. He said, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And that's why I chose to have a series that we started a few weeks ago on the fundamental truths of our faith as found in a roadmap for the journey through life that we call the Apostles' Creed. So far, we've talked about what it means to use the word I. It's a personal statement. You own it. We've talked about what it means to truly believe, to embrace that word. We've talked about the questions of what is God's name and who named him? And we've talked about labels of God's name, some of which were sung today in the song. And what do they mean? And we've talked about some formidable atheists who tried to undermine our faith and how we answer them. And today we're going to continue on our journey on the roadmap. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Say it with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. What does it mean to say that God is your Father Almighty? Well, the first thing, of course, it means when you think about that is he's a male parent. What does the word father mean? You go to the dictionary, it says a male parent. Okay, well, let's move on. What else does the dictionary have to say besides that? The first definition of that male parent in the dictionary is he is a protector. I believe in God, the protector almighty. That's part of what you're saying. Listen to Psalm 12, but listen to it in light of the world we live in today. Listen to these words. Help, Lord. Did you hear what I asked you to do? Listen, in light of the world we live in today. Help, Lord. And by the way, it's all capital letters. What does that mean? You were here last week. Yahweh. Kathy, thank you. It means Yahweh. It's his name. It's the name he named himself. Yahweh. Help, Yahweh. For the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to his neighbor. Their flattering lips speak with deception. May the Lord Yahweh cut off all flattering lips and every boastful tongue that says, we will triumph with our tongues. We own our lips. Who is our master? And then God responds in the psalm and he says, because of the oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy, I will now arise, says Yahweh the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. And he goes on. And the words of Yahweh the Lord are flawless. Hallelujah. The words of Yahweh are flawless. Like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified 7 times. O Lord, O Yahweh, you will keep us safe and protect us from such people forever. The wicked freely strut about, when what is vile is honored among them. That's a great psalm. I hadn't read that psalm for a long time. I love that psalm. That was Psalm 12. Go home and read it again today. According to that psalm, Psalm 12, here's a possible translation of your affirmation of faith. I believe in Father God, the one whose word is flawless, the one who protects me from those who would slander me, the one who will keep me safe from the wicked. Now that's a huge thought, isn't it? Here's a wonderful benediction for you. No, the sermon's not over. Here's a wonderful benediction from you. It's from Psalm 20, verses 1 through 2. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. Or maybe this one of my favorites from Psalm 32. You, Father God, are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. And here's yet another promise. It was written by Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one, and that is the enemy Satan. How comforting are those promises, brothers and sisters? How comforting? Is that wonderful or what? Now when you affirm your faith in the Apostles' Creed, and when you say, I believe in God, the Father, you are affirming the fact that He protects you. He is your protector. Or do you? Maybe there's a different thought lingering back there that you don't even know is there. Maybe what you really mean is, I believe in God, the Grandfather Almighty. The Grandfather? What's that all about? Well, let me answer that by reading to you something that J.B. Phillips wrote. He wrote this in Leadership Magazine, Volume 1, Number 3. Quiet! That's not what he wrote. He said, we want, in fact, not so much a father in heaven as a grandfather in heaven. A senile benevolence who, as they say, liked to see young people enjoying themselves, and whose plan for the universe was simply that it might be truly said at the end of each day, a good time was had by all. Is that what you really want? A good time? Is that why you come to worship? You want a God to make you feel good. You want to be spoiled. That's what grandparents do, right? Right, Elizabeth? We have a right, we have a license. If that is making you squirm at all about your feeling about what you want from God, if that's making you squirm at all, then let's refocus ourselves on what it really means to call Him Father. I believe in God the Father Almighty. By the way, you proclaim that He's Almighty. In addition to the fact that He's protector, what does Almighty mean? It means He has unlimited power. Limited power? No, He has unlimited power. And the label El Shaddai, you know that label El Shaddai? It's translated God Almighty. I believe in God, El Shaddai. The word Almighty in the Greek means all-ruling. I believe in God who rules over all of the universe and over all of nature. It reminds me of a really good sermon that I heard recently that asked the question over and over, how big is your God? You remember that sermon? How big is your God? You can base your security on the bedrock, the foundational truth, that God is almighty, He is powerful, He is all-ruling. Or you could base your security on something else. Do you base your security on Almighty God or on the almighty dollar? Lord, forgive us if we glibly ever say, I believe You are the Father Almighty. Help us to know and not doubt that You are all-powerful and all-ruling, our protector, perfect. I believe in God the Father Almighty. Say it again. I believe in God the Father Almighty. Say it again. I believe in God the Father Almighty. You're not that old, are you? You have more energy than that. There's a wonderful song called Let There Be Peace on Earth. Many of you probably know it. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth. I started too high. The peace that was meant to be. And the next words are this. With God as our Father, brothers all are we. Let me walk with my brother in great humility. Isn't that warm fuzzy? Isn't that wonderful? The National Christian Choir sang that song as the finale of a concert in Israel, in Jerusalem, for the anniversary of the founding of Israel, the 60th anniversary of the founding of modern Israel. Let there be peace. And let it begin with me, with God, as our Father, brothers all are we. Well, you know, yes, if God is the creator, He is the parent. of every living person. Amen? He loves every one of his creatures, and he wants us to join hands and sing Kumbaya with handkerchiefs nearby. But here's the game changer. He is not the protector of every living creature. He is not the father of every living creature in the truest biblical sense. Because, are you listening? You can only truly call God Father if He has given you the privilege to do that. And if He is not your Father and you stand before Him and you say, I believe in God the Father, you are a liar, a hypocrite. Hellfire and Brimstone Sunday, I guess. John 1, verse 10. Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human descent or a husband's will, but born of God. We are children of God, not just because He created us, but we are spiritual children of God if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. It was Jesus Christ who invited you and me over and over again to embrace God as our Father protector. That's a remarkable, life-changing, earth-moving, cosmic privilege. It's an invitation. Have you sent your RSVP? I believe in God, the Father Almighty. You know what? Just saying that is not enough. The demons know that He is God. The demons know that He is the Father Almighty, but they don't embrace Him as Father. To affirm your faith in God as your Father, as you often do here, is to declare yourself a child of your Creator. It is to embrace the truth that He is your protector. Now, let's first talk about knowing Him as the Father. Guess what? You can't. You cannot. Listen to Matthew 11, verse 27. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. If you know the Father, it's because Jesus Christ selected you to reveal the Father to you. That's what the Word says. Those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. The role of Jesus is to point us to God. The role of the Holy Spirit is to point us to Jesus. And we're going to explore a whole lot more about all that as we continue on this journey with our roadmap called the Apostles' Creed. But for now, grab this marvelous truth and hold on to it, brothers and sisters. If you know God as your Father, it's because Jesus Christ chose to reveal to you that God is your Heavenly Father. Thank Him for it. Thank Him right now. Thank Him. Thank you, Father, for revealing yourself to me through your Son. Thank Him. You can only say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, if Jesus has called you to Himself. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me your great salvation so rich and free. Free? Wow, what if you had to pay for it? I think I'm going to wait and save that for a whole sermon someday. By the way, is God the Father a male or a female? The answer is both and neither. God describes himself both ways in the Word. Here's a passage where he does it, it's both side by side, in Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verses 13 and 14. God says, "The Lord," all capital letters, meaning Yahweh, "Yahweh will march out like a mighty man, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies." That's pretty masculine, isn't it? And in the next verse, God says, "For a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, gasp, and pant." And in Isaiah 49, the Lord says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." Or Isaiah 66, verse 13, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." God the Father is a spiritual Father. His attributes are spiritual attributes, and they are beyond gender. But God chose to reveal himself primarily in masculine attributes. We're not sure why. It may have been because he used writers of a time when the male was the king of the castle, and she was a nobody, and he was going to send her to the moon, Alice. Some people got that. Now, speaking of the attributes of God, what words come to your mind when you think about a perfect heavenly Father? What words come to your mind? Just share some of them, just words. Attributes of God. Here are some I wrote down, I may be repeating. Strong, mighty, gentle, provider, protector, teacher, life giver, authority, disciplinarian. Remember, brothers and sisters, these are the attributes of a heavenly Father who is perfect. We're not talking about the attributes of our earthly fathers, our earthly brothers, who are not perfect. I believe in God, the strong Father Almighty, the gentle Father Almighty. You fill in the attributes. Yes, Jesus invited you to call God your Father, but he went further than that. And it's well illustrated by something that was written by William Franklin in the late 19th century. And in this quote, he's talking about his earthly father. Listen to this. "If he's wealthy and prominent and you stand in awe of him, call him Father. If he sits in his shirt sleeves and suspenders at a ball game and picnic, call him Pop. If he wheels the baby carriage and carries bundles meekly, call him Papa. If he belongs to a literary circle and he writes cultured papers, call him Papa. If, however, he makes a pal of you when you're good and is too wise to let you pull the wool over his loving eyes when you're not, if, moreover, you're quite sure that no other fellow you know has quite as fine a father, you may call him Dad. God said you may call him Dad." He used an untranslatable Aramaic word, Abba. In Romans 8:15, Paul said, "You received the spirit of sonship, and by him, by the Holy Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father." In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. The best translation we have of the word Abba in English is the word daddy, as was richly illustrated earlier in this service. That's not a disrespectful term. It's an endearing term. It's one of the most endearing terms that God allows us to use to talk to Him. Abba. Do you have fears? What are you afraid of? Call to Abba. Are you lonely? Sit on Abba's lap. Are you perplexed and you want to cry? Go ahead and ask Abba to wipe your tears. Did you have a boo-boo? Ask Him to kiss it and make it better. Do you have imaginary monsters in the closet or under the bed? Let Abba Father get rid of them. Do you have a broken heart? Do you have a life-threatening illness? Are your finances controlling you rather than you controlling them? Then cry out, I believe in God, my Abba Father Almighty. That felt good. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you lack. He knows when you need to cry and weep. He knows when you need to laugh. He knows what you've done, and He knows what you need to do. And He loves you anyway. Is that okay? Let's talk to Him. Let's sing to Him. Let's worship Him. I'm going to ask you to sing once again, Abba, Father, and sing it to the Lord. We lift our lives before You. How we love You. Thank You, Jesus, for calling us home to our Abba Father. Thank You, Father Almighty, for protecting us from the devil, for providing what You know we need. Thank You for allowing us the privilege of being Your children. We pray to You, Father, in the name of Your only Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Hear now the prayer from Romans 15, which is our benediction today. May the God of hope fill you with joy and fill you with peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Go in power and in peace. God bless you.